Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. This week will be the final indie review for a while, or maybe ever. I don't know. Let's just get drunk and see what happens. Anywho, MLW programming is returning next week. It will be Battle Riot, one of my favorite events in professional wrestling each year, because I love me some giant battle royals, and so they're finally going to broadcast that live next Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time, I believe. Otherwise, I'm going to miss a chunk of it, so I probably should go look that up. But anyway, let's get to some more MLW news, shall we? We have more news coming out of Fightland 2022, going to be this Sunday, October 30th, at the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia Arena. Philadelphia Arena. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It looks to be that we are going to have a dual set of debuts, first of which is Alec Price taking on the Silver Sniper, TJ Crawford. Both gentlemen are making waves out in the Northeast, via Create a Pro Wrestling, etc. The Northeast Beast is Price. He's a five-year veteran out of Boston, and looks to be tearing things up out in the Northeast as well. And of course, I said Crawford comes out of the Creative Pro School in New Jersey, and he is the Silver Sniper. So this is a great showcase for two young talent to finally kind of take the next step up in their careers. Looking forward to see this match. Another match that was just announced is for the MLW World's Featherweight Championship. What was previously going to be an open challenge has been answered, as Taya Valkyrie's opponent has been announced to be Trish Adora, the Afro Punk from Washington, D.C., a 7-year veteran and has seen 6 years of active duty in the Army. I have first become aware of her existence probably about a year ago, and she is finally kind of coming into her own and getting the national spotlight brought to her. I've seen her wrestling throughout the country, really. Most recently out of Enjoy Wrestling out of Philadelphia, but I've seen her doing Global Wrestling All-Stars in Florida as well. But a solid get for MLW. And if this is a rumored swan song for Taya, then this is certainly a worthy opponent to drop the title to. That said, that is pure speculation. That is just straight up rumor mill talk that the potential of Taya Valkyrie returning to the WWE, especially after the way she exited. But, you know, news is news, and sometimes you just got to put a Z on it to give yourself some more credibility, huh? Anywho, Fightland is this weekend. It's going to be a solid card just going by the paper. Running down the list, we're going to see the debut of Delirious. We're going to see the debut of Sam Adonis. We're going to see the Samoan SWAT team versus the new FBI. For the middleweight championship, we'll see Shun Skywalker taking on Lindsay Dorado. Of course, the featherweight championship is up for grabs as Taya Valkyrie takes on Trish Adora. Davey Boy Smith Jr. and the Billington Bulldogs will be taking on the Beaumaye Fight Club. Real One, the former Enzo More, will be taking on Mance Warner. Willie Mack versus Calvin Tankman, and probably could be the match of the night. Jacob Fatu taking on the man of the hour, Leo Rush. And your main event, last man standing for the MLW World Heavyweight Championship, your boy Alexander Hammerstone, will be taking on one half of the MLW Tag Team Champions, the Judge, EJ and Duca. All right, let's get into our review here. As stated, I've been checking out independent promotions across the United States during MLW's hiatus, and this is going to be the last one, at least for in the meanwhile, unless people want to, you know, throw some more cash my way to give me some more time to, you know, do some more reviews or whatnot. Or we'll just make them all Patreon exclusive, which also involves you throwing cash at me, but it makes you feel more special because you're getting it and not other people. Anywho, you're gonna hear about that at the end of the show and whatnot. But so I've just been kind of like choosing, you know, whomever has a TV show to watch and Sounds interesting. And this time, though, like as I said, I've been hanging out mostly in America. And by mostly, I mean entirely in the good old US of A. But for the last review, let's go across the pond, shall we? Let's check out the Reach Wrestling Academy. They have a program called Unit 10. They are on episode 35, and I gave that a watch. So, join me on that. You can find it up on the YouTubes. Not terribly hard to find. Just look up Reach Wrestling on there, and you can find it. But they are based out of southwestern England, and for the life of me, I can't understand a bloody word they're saying, despite occasionally being accused myself of having a British accent. Don't know where that came from, but you know, people aren't that bright, really, sometimes. And I mean, I don't leave the house to get an accent. I just hang out in my hot tub filled with pizza rolls and scream into microphones. But never mind that. Let's have a review. Unit 10, episode 35, gonna start now. We got our intro package leading us to Norman Culture backstage, cutting a promo about the road to the gold is starting tonight. Their friend Heath really would like to have the Academy Championship, even though he is not in said match tonight. Our first match looks to be Cameron Braddon versus Matty T, evidently in a storage locker. That's what it looks to be. Either that or a very tiny, small gym. Either way, though, they do definitely have enough room for the three camera setup. Got a crowd of like 10 people or so. I'm gonna guess that this is the wrestling school show. Not a knock against it or anything, but just guessing by the size of the place they're working in and the size of the crowd. Also, the crowd's all standing by the entrance, very much, you know, herded as well. So, whatever. Anyway, Cameron Braddon versus Matty T. Great name, Matty T. Start the match off with the corner back shoves, you know, pushing the guy into the corner and then, oh, double chop to the chest. Both of them do that. T finally cuts off Braddon with some kicks, lots of strikes. Braddon goes for the Tomokazi. Evidently, it's called the Difference Maker, otherwise known as the Unprettier, the Kill Switch, or whatever Christian Cage is calling it this week. Gut Wrench for two by Matty T. Does a lot of clubbering in the corner and just throughout the ring itself. Braddon mounts a bit of a comeback, though, hits a diving clothesline off the middle rope for two, before finally landing the Tomokazi, the Difference Maker, for three. Solid but unspectacular opening contest between the two gentlemen, but I can't fault anyone who goes by the name Matty T, so that's like an extra like 32,000 stars. 33,000 if you happen to be in the Tokyo Dome, right? Huh? Yeah? Not wrong on that. No. Next, we get some footage live from Holsbury. Maximilian Jagger IV just walks out of his match against Lucky. Now they are both backstage with the interviewer. They are going to be challenging for the supplementary title together. It looks like it's going to be a three-way battle in the future. Neither of them are terribly happy about that, and they're even less happy when they find out that they will be teaming tonight against the New Vision. Our second bout of the evening will be Jason Crow versus Alexander Gray. Oh, we've got all sorts of like fancy spellings on this because you could tell we're British on that. Okay, I'm just going to be like randomly slagging the Brits, which unfortunately are like half my Twitter followers, so there goes that popularity. Anyway, we're going to start the match off with a chicken chant directed at Crow. Crow tosses off his jacket at Gray and launches an attack. Gray comes back with lots of headlocks, and then with the Val Venus knee strikes, so, you know, whip him to the ropes, but still hold on to him, give him the knee, whip him to the ropes again, give him the knee, etc. Crow goes to the midsection before choking Gray. Body slam by Crow gets two. Gray comes back with a rock bottom for two as well. Gray fights out of a top rope DDT and hits a big spear to emerge your victor. Gets the three count. One, two, three. Your winner, Alexander Gray. Another solid match that just clicks all the boxes for a solid wrestling strategy. Not really strategy. Not sure where I was going with that word either, but, you know, standard psychology was probably where I was going with that. Good thing I'm a professional. Anywho, you know, good solid match between the two. Solid but unspectacular, which, you know, you're in a gym. If you were any more spectacular, you'd blow the roof off of it, and then you'd have to, you know, double your rent or something of the like. Anywho, ranting on way too much. Let's just take a pause for the cause, get an energy drink, start a podcast or something. I'll catch you all in 1 minute. If you're like me, sometimes you need a pick-me-up to get you through the day. I drink Raise Energy for that pickup. Raise comes in a bunch of different flavors, and more recently, Italian Ice, which is great, by the way. And it contains no sugar, so there's no crash after you drink it. And really, like, best of all, if you go through me and go to wetrepsports.com, use my code CASS, you get 15% off your order. So, also, be like CASS, drink Raise Energy. All right, we are back. We are getting an interview with Dante and his inflatable guitar. He will be making his debut at the upcoming Battle Royal. Unfortunately, this Battle Royal, I think, was last weekend, but I'm not sure how time works across the ocean, so it might be happening right now. But, you know, never mind that. Crow comes up. He is upset that he hasn't been interviewed yet, even though he just had a great match with a former Reach Wrestling champion. Unfortunately, though, he chooses to insult the inflatable guitar of Dante. And, of course, those be fighting words, and they brawl off screen. Penny comes out. She's in the Battle Royal, too. She was doing commentary the first match. She slaps Dante, the interviewer, even though she doesn't know what a battle royal is. She walks off. Ref Matt comes in, making sure the interviewer's okay. Ref Matt's in the battle royal. Turns out the interviewer's in the battle royal as well, as is the cameraman. So this is going to be a bang up battle royal, and I'm hoping I get to see that, because I'm down for, like, a battle royal being, like, everybody in the company. So now I'm going to go do some digging for that one as well. Our next match is the team of New Vision taking on frenemies Maximilian Jagger IV and Lucky. Unfortunately, Lucky is not Lucky 13, so they do not have that going for him. Starting off the match hot, though, with double teaming done to Max. New Vision is obviously an actual tag team, whereas Lucky and Maximilian just dislike each other. Max, though, cuts everything off, goes for the eyes on Kid Devin, but Kid Devin just ignores it and just keeps going on the offense. Kurt Rain gets tagged in, and they get some quick tags going back and forth before Rain accidentally kind of like mushroom stomps Kid Devin, allowing Max to get the tag. We do have standoff between Rain and Lucky. Their skills seem to be relatively easily matched until Rain gets low bridged and sent to the floor, and Lucky hits a slingshot crossbody. Inside the ring, monkey flip for two. Jagger accidentally, air quotes, kicks Lucky in the back, but what wasn't an accident was the part where he hurls them into the ring post outside the ring. This allows Vision to take over for a bit, gets quick tags against Lucky. Max refuses to get the tag, and then when it's most, you know, beneficial for him, he blind tags in. Kid Devin makes a comeback, though. Lucky takes a reluctant hot tag and then just takes out everybody because he's the actual competent wrestler out of all this, though. But as he goes up to the top rope, Jagger decides that, nah, it's time to lose, pushes Lucky off the top rope, and New Vision hits the total elimination to get the 1-2-3. And that was a solid match between the two teams. Like everything else in this show, obviously, everything's pretty solid. But this is the first match to actually have a storyline built into it. Whereas every match tells a story, this is the first one to actually have an angle to go along with it, with the frenemies going back and forth, eventually costing themselves the match at the end, especially because Maximilian Jagger IV is just a little prick. Anywho, backstage, Jason King is back after a leave of absence. He misses Reach Wrestling, and he's hitting all the cliches about being back and wanting to be the best and doing it on his own, etc., etc., etc. All right, it is time for our main event of the evening. It is champion versus champion, as supplementary champion Danny Boy Johnson will be taking on the Academy champion Toby Valentine. No titles on the line, though. This is just straight up for honor. We start the match off exchanging holds, going back and forth until Toby gets himself a nasty little headlock locked on there for a bit. But once he lets go of that, that opens up the match to more move exchanges, still going back and forth with the moves. Finally, Danny gets things going by going to the eyes to take advantage. Toby stops a flying nothing, though, and then hits a lariat for two. We get X-Pac special by Danny Boy, and for those of you not understanding that snark, that is three kicks into the corner, followed by the Bronco Buster. Then Danny Boy Dunn hits himself a corner bomb, but only gets a two count off of that. We get what commentary is calling a spine buster, but I'm pretty sure the dude just dropped proper after getting an inverted atomic drop. That gets a two count for the efforts. Danny Boy goes back to the eyes before Toby fights him off. And fights off a figure four leg lock and hits a big pounce. Love me the pounce, so I will always pop out for that. The straps are down. We are getting serious. Big splashes in the corner for two. We get a ref bump. Northern Culture is out with a nightstick, and they're just gang beating Toby Valentine. Danny Boy Johnson just walks off, and that's it. We're just going to end on this gang beating. We don't get an announcement of anybody winning, though obviously I'm going to assume that Toby Valentine won by disqualification because he was gang beaten by a bunch of Northern Culture thugs. Backstage, Toby is getting checked out by ring staff. He dismisses them, says he's fine, and he's ready to take on Heath one-on-one at the next show to prove who is the best once and for all. And I think we will find out that Toby Valentine has all the fire we need to keep that championship. All right, so that was our show. That was Reach Wrestling, Unit 10, Episode 35. And yeah, like, you know, it was a fun, small little show. I mean, I got snarky about it, as I am wont to do with all of my reviews. But for a show that clocks in near an hour, it went by very fast. I will give them that. Like, it really didn't seem like much time was being, you know, passing it all. And all of a sudden, like, boom, it's your main event. And we've had like four matches already. So that is always, you know, I may not go out there and like, yeah, this thing tore down the house, but like, you know, to be able to immerse yourself and lose yourself for that amount of time, you know, takes a bit of skill. And I can make fun of the tiny lodgings or like, you know, how nothing was spectacular, but like, obviously it entertained me for 50 plus minutes, which really, let's be frank, is the most important thing, because we spend... Yeah, despite me having a podcast tearing down the world of professional wrestling, you know, really it's about watching things that you enjoy. And obviously, I enjoyed this. So check it out if you guys can. It's on YouTube. They don't have a Twitter, but they're on Instagram and Facebook, which I didn't bother to actually check out. Not going to lie on that front. But definitely the YouTube is where, well, they have all of their shows. They definitely have a website in there too, which you can reach from the YouTube. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. And this was a great journey. It was great being able to just kind of sit back, relax, and bring a spotlight to some smaller independent wrestling companies that may not have you know, that big of a voice and that much of a reach throughout the country, or, well, speaking of Reach Wrestling, throughout the world. So that was really neat, and hopefully, you know, I can do something like this every time MLW takes a hiatus for a season break or whatnot, because it was cool. But, you know, that being said, you know, guys, just, you know, you can still shoot me recommendations of what to watch, because I do love me some professional wrestling, and I watch entirely too much of it. And whereas I try to avoid some of the, you know, big boys, you know, I like seeing all, like, the small regional territories get their due as well. So, that being said, we are coming back with MLW action next week. Battle Riot should be great. At least I hope it is. I mean, I'm going to love it no matter what, because I love Battle Riot. I love Battle Royals. And then we will, from there, starting like November 10th, we'll be moving back into Fusion, the flagship program of Major League Wrestling. So until then, I'm Rob Kammer. Thank you all for listening. Stay tuned for all the plugs and all that sort of good stuff, and I will see you all next week. MLW Confusion is a weekly podcast that is written and performed by Rob Kammer and hosted at Anchor FM.
The background music for this section is Ruined My Day, performed by Alan Schroeder. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to support, please like, subscribe, and tell your friends, family, and enemies. Leaving a review would also be helpful. Word-of-mouth advertisement, of course, is very important for us small podcasts. For my social media links, they can be found in the description below, but the Twitter and Instagram are both at The Nova of Cass, TheNovaOfCass, and Facebook is at MLW Confusion. If you'd like to support monetarily and help upgrade my equipment, please check out my virtual chip jar at www.kofi.com/Casanova. That is CassOnova. If you'd prefer more bang for your buck, go to patreon.com/Casanova, where for as little as $1, backers get access to the podcast early and without those pesky ads, plus other exclusive content. So head up the crew and join Maverick45, Alan Schroeder, and Keith Wynn, and check it out. You can also find t-shirts at whatamaneuver.net/collections/theconfusionpodcast. There's hyphens in between the Confusion Podcast, of course. And for other business inquiries, such as ads and sponsorships, please email me at rzkammerer, K-A-M-E-R-E-R, @comcast.net. Thank you all for listening.